The only way to hear the divine and receive inspiration is to clean all memories. The only thing you have to do is clean. Dr. Hulin spent a lot of time explaining how the divine is our zero state. It's where we have zero limits. No memories, no identity, nothing but the divine. In our lives, we have moments of visiting the zero-limit state, but most of the time we have garbage, what he calls memories, playing out. When I worked at the mental hospital and would look at patients' charts, he told us, I would feel pain inside me. This was a shared memory. It was a program that caused the patients to act the way they did. They had no control. They were caught up in a program. As I felt the program, I cleaned. Cleaning became the reoccurring theme. He told us a variety of ways to clean, most of which I can't explain here because they are confidential. You have to attend a Ho'oponopono workshop to learn them all. Again, go to ho'oponopono.org. But the method of cleaning Dr. Hulin used the most and still uses today, and the one I use today, is as follows. They are simply four statements that you say over and over, nonstop, addressing them to the divine. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. As we went through this first weekend event, the phrase, I love you, became part of my mental chatter. Just as sometimes you wake up with a song playing in your head, I'd wake up hearing, I love you, in my head. Whether I consciously said it or not, it was there. It was a beautiful feeling. I didn't know how it was clearing anything, but I did it anyway. How could I love you be bad in any way, shape, or form? At one point in the event, Dr. Hulin again singled me out. He asked, Joseph, how do you know whether something is a memory or inspiration? I didn't understand the question and said so. How do you know if someone who gets cancer gave it to themselves or was it given to them by the divine as a challenge to help them? I was silent for a moment. I tried to process the question. How do you know when an event is from your own mind or from the mind of the divine? I have no idea, I replied. And neither do I, Dr. Hulin said. And that's why you have to constantly clean, clean, clean. You have to clean on anything and everything, as you have no idea what is a memory or what is inspiration. You clean to get to a place of zero limits, which is the zero state. Dr. Hulin states that our minds have a tiny view of the world, and that view is not only incomplete, but inaccurate. I didn't buy this concept until I picked up the book, The Wayward Mind, by Guy Claxton. In it, Claxton writes of experiments that prove our brain tells us what to do before we consciously decide to do it. In one famous experiment, a neuroscientist named Benjamin Levitt hooked people up to an EEG machine. It revealed what was happening in their brains. It revealed that a surge of brain activity took place before the person had the conscious intention to do something, suggesting that the intention came from the unconscious and then entered conscious awareness. Claxton writes, he, Levitt, discovered that the intention to move appeared about a fifth of a second before the movement began, but that a surge of activity in the brain reliably appeared about a third of a second before the intention. According to William Irvine, in his book On Desire, Why We Want What We Want, experiments such as these suggest that our choices are not formed in a conscious, rational manner. Instead, they bubble up from our unconscious mind, and when they finally reach the surface of consciousness, we take ownership of them. And Benjamin Levitt himself, the man who ran the controversial and revealing experiments, wrote in his book, Mind Time, the unconscious appearance of an intention to act could not be controlled consciously. Only its final consummation in a motor act could be consciously controlled. In other words, the urge to pick up this recording may seem like it came from your conscious choice. But in reality, your brain first sent a signal to pick it up, and then your conscious mind followed with a stated intention, something like, "This audio looks interesting. I think I'll pick it up." You could have chosen to not pick up this recording, which you would have rationalized in some other way. But you could not control the origin of the signal itself that was nudging you to take action. I know this is hard to believe. According to Claxton, no intention is ever hatched in consciousness. No plan ever laid there. Intentions are premonitions, icons that flash in the corners of consciousness to indicate what may be about to occur. Apparently, a clear intention is nothing more than a clear premonition. The thing that troubles me is this. Where did the thought come from? This is mind-blowing. Since I wrote about the power of intention in my book, The Attractor Factor, and since I spoke about it in the movie, The Secret, coming to realize intentions aren't my choice at all was a shock. It appears that what I thought I was doing when I set an intention was simply verbalizing an impulse already in motion from my brain. The question then becomes, what or who made my brain send the intention? In fact, I later asked Dr. Hu Len, "Who's in charge?" He laughed and said he loved the question. Well, what's the answer? I confess I was still confused about intentions. I lost 80 pounds by being mentally tough and asserting my intention to lose weight. So was I declaring an intention or just responding to my brain's signal to lose weight? Was it an inspiration or a memory? I wrote and asked Dr. Hu Len. He replied, saying,
"Nothing exists at zero hour akua. No problems, including the need for intention. Weight concerns are simply memories replaying, and these memories displace zero, you. To return to zero, you requires divinity erasing memories."